We are in Paul's letter to Philemon, so if you want to open up your Bibles there to Philemon, Philemon for some, Philemon, Philemon. And today, we're not going to get very far at all. Let me turn my phone back on so I can see the time. So we are in Philemon. Right before Hebrews. It's one page, so it's easy to miss. And today we are going to get through one verse. Really, we're focusing on one word. One verse, one word, so part of a verse. Right before Hebrews. Yes, only one chapter. Chapter one. Oh, that was a joke? Okay. I'm like, oh, I thought she was here. Anybody know what chapter we're in? Chapter one. All right. Chapter one. You need it? Just don't. All right. All right, so today we're going to look at really one verse, verse 12. And one word, generally, the word heart, 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 heart. So I just want to spend some time there. Actually, I didn't even type up too many pages, but I'm being obedient to where the Lord is guiding me, and this is where I'm going to stay. Time permitting, I don't know. We'll see what happens with the time that's left, but for now, just this one verse. So we're going to, let me just read through verse 1 through 12. And then we will pick up and go from there. I'll read 1 through 12. But just some things that we've already talked about. Well, let me read the verse and then I'll go through it. So the word of God reads, Philemon, Philemon for some. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and Appia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, the Colossians, right? We talked about that last week. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember we talked about how we greet one another? Have anybody changed their vocabulary? I'm curious. When you greet one another? Y'all remember the first teaching? No? I've been saying it here and there. I say my beloved, right? Remember how Paul talked to Philemon, right? This gentle, tender language. We were talking about adding that to our vocabulary, that tender love language to one another, because that's how the Apostle Paul did it. Calls Philemon his beloved brother, right? Tender language. And so I've been trying to add that to my vocabulary as I approach and speak to you all, some of my brothers and sisters here, my beloved brothers and sisters here in the Lord. So remember, so he says, my beloved brother and fellow worker Appia and our sister Archippus, our fellow soldier to the church in your house. And then he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's also how we can greet one another. You're saying when you say grace and peace, you're actually speaking a blessing over a person. So when I see you, I can say grace and peace to you, brother. May God's peace be upon you. You're speaking blessing over a person as you meet them. That's kind of like saying hello. So versus you saying hello to another believer, you can start off by saying grace and peace for the Lord Jesus Christ. How you doing? Right? You're speaking blessing over them, God's word over them. And so that's what the apostle was doing here in his opening greeting. He's speaking blessings over Philemon and the church and his house and to Appia and to Archippus. He's speaking God's peace, his shalom. Remember shalom? He's speaking God's shalom. Remember, wholeness is what shalom means. Not just the end of conflict, but the Hebrew word for shalom means fullness, that you are doing good in your mind, your body, your spirit, financially, healthy, everything. You're just well all around, prosperity. He wants shalom upon you, right? And so he's speaking shalom over Philemon and everyone in his house. Shalom. And then verse 4 says, I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers. Remember, Paul is always praying for folks in this letter, right? And so it says, because I hear of your love and the faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Do you remember our other challenge that we gave each other? We're going on week 3 now. Hopefully we're speaking to one another. Remember, the challenge was that you were going to go up to a person and you were going to tell them what you would tell the Apostle Paul if you were going to report back to him about some good thing that you're doing, right? Because what the Apostle Paul here, he says that I heard of your love to Philemon. I mean, he didn't necessarily see it, but someone came and reported back to the Apostle Paul, who was locked up in jail, and they told him about, man, Paul, Philemon, he just has this crazy love for the saints, man. He just loves the people of God. They were reporting back to Paul about Philemon's life. And so we were supposed to do the same thing. We were supposed to, like, hypothetically, or use our imagination and act as if we were going to go and report back to Paul about somebody in this church. Like, I've used the examples of Pastor Brian and Sister Pat, how I would report back to Paul about Pastor Brian's love for the saints. I would report back to Paul about Sister Pat's love for children and wanting to help others and those in needs. That's what I would report back. And so your challenge is, whatever you would report back to the Apostle Paul about somebody in this church, you go and tell that person what you would say about them so you can build them up. Because maybe, they may not even see what they're doing. It may just, that's just God gifting them this way, and they don't even recognize it. Like, I see it. I see what God has done in you, right? Man, just your love for people. She's not here. I was thinking about Melissa. Like, just when she prays, I would tell Paul, man, Melissa, Paul, when she prays, man, it's just like heaven is coming down. Like, she's praying. Like, that's what I would report back about her. See, so whatever you would report back about somebody in this church to the Apostle Paul, to someone else, go tell that person what you would say and build them up. So that's what that was about there, right? Paul said, because I heard of your love and of the faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith, the koinonia, may become effective through the knowledge, the epinosis, to know something of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. So he's praying that Paul or Philemon uses his gifts, his finances to help the church. And he's praying that that somehow allows him to grow in his understanding of all that we have in Christ, or all that is in him in Christ. And so that is Paul's prayer there. And then he says in verse 7, for I've come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. So he's found joy in his love. He's found comfort in just hearing about Philemon's love. Philemon's love is so powerful and impacting that the Apostle Paul, just hearing about it, has found comfort and joy in what he is doing. And so he just loved hearing how Philemon is refreshing the hearts of the saints, which likely may have meant is just how Philemon was using his funds, financial, to help the saints potentially. So he's saying, I've heard about this, and I just found so much comfort and joy in your love and how you're living your life, Philemon, right? So that's what he's saying there. And then verse 8, he says, therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper. Remember, we talked about this last week. Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the age, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He says that because, remember, he's the Apostle Paul. He's the church planter. He's well known. Paul is known. And Paul is like, I could, being my role, who I am, I could kind of direct you to do something, but he's like, I'm not going to do that. I want to appeal to love, right? And we talked about appealing to love last week and not always using a hammer and not always having to be so direct. Sometimes we have to appeal to the softer side and appeal to mercy and appeal to love. And there's a time when we have to be more direct, but we talked about praying for discernment to know when to use which tool, right? And so that's what we talked about last week. He says, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the age, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Verse 10, he says, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, does Paul have a child? He doesn't have a natural child, right? But what has happened? Onesimus has become his son in the faith, right? And he says, whom I've begotten in my imprisonment. So while Paul was locked down, he had a child. Onesimus, not literally had a child, right? And men don't, especially these days and age, men don't have kids, right? Who formerly was useless to you, we talked about that, but now is useful both to you and to me. Remember, Onesimus' name means useful in the Greek. So this verse can be read, my child useful, who formerly was useless to you, is now both useful to you and me. And we talked about how now in Jesus we become useful, that our life before Christ was useless because we were living for ourselves. We were living outside of God's will. We weren't doing the kingdom work. But now that we are in Jesus, we are now useful for the Master. Why? Because we're living for his glory. So that makes us useful. So that's where we ended last week. And now we are jumping to verse 12. Let me grab some water. So all of you who missed the first 11 verses, that was your summary right there. So now we're in verse 12, and then the apostle starts off by saying, I have sent him back to you in person. He's talking about Onesimus. That is sending my very heart. He says, I've sent him back to you, Onesimus. That is sending my very heart. Let me add this additional detail because for those who weren't here. So Onesimus was, this is the ancient world. Onesimus was a slave or servant of Philemon. We don't know how he became in that position. There was many ways people entered into servitude. It's a ton of reasons. But we don't know how that exchange happened. But Onesimus basically ran away and he stole Philemon's money, took some of his money. And so now he's actually going back to Philemon. So that's where Paul is talking about here. Paul is now sending Onesimus back to Philemon to bring, to have reconciliation so that it can be at peace. And so that's what's happening here. He's writing to Philemon and saying, I'm sending Onesimus back to you, Philemon. But he says here in verse 12, I have sent him back to you in person. That is sending my very heart. So Paul said he is sending his heart. This is the only place in scripture that at least I could find. I even asked AI, but I know AI is not always correct. But this is the only place in scripture where the apostle Paul calls somebody his heart. He says other people may have his heart, but here he's saying that Onesimus is his heart. That dear to him, that this man, Onesimus, is his heart. When I'm reading that verse, all I'm thinking is like, man, if the Apostle Paul was here today and he made a YouTube video, the manosphere would like, there would be so many reaction videos made to him. Everybody would be calling him soft. Look at this guy over here calling this other dude his son and calling this other dude his beloved. That's not even his real son. I could just see people just going off on him and just clowning him because this hyper-masculinity culture that we live in and how Paul is just killing that hyper-masculinity and showing this softer side of manhood by calling another man his heart. Another guy is calling his heart. Another guy, he's saying, this is my son. And so I can just imagine how Paul would just be so dragged online for his speech, the way he talks. But yet he does that. He calls Onesimus his heart. Now here's the thing. The word that he's using when he says, I'm sending you back my very heart, or he is my very heart. In the Greek language, the word that is used in there is not the actual word heart. There's another Greek word for heart. Paul is using a totally different word. He's using this word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but in the Greek world, in the Greek and Hebrew world, when you, like in our culture, when we say somebody is dear to us, we say, you are in my heart, right? With all of my heart, I love somebody, right? That's how we speak in our modern terms. But in this ancient world, that's not how they spoke. They believed that the deepest part of a person, the seat of their inner emotion, was guess where? I taught this before. Let's see if you remember. Where did the ancients believe the seat of your emotions was, the deepest part of you? Where was that? It wasn't the heart. What do you think it was? Preach that, Sister Linda. Your intestines, your gut. So if you read this verse in the Greek, this is how it would read. Paul would be saying this. He would be saying, I have sent him back to you in person. That is, sending my very guts. I'm sending you my guts, Philemon. I'm sending you the deepest part of me. That's what he's trying to express. This is how they express the deepest part of them, the seat of the deepest, most intimate part of them. They thought it. They were more visceral. They thought it was inside of their guts. They thought that was the deepest part of you. So he's saying, the deepest part of me, my intestines, my guts. He says, Philemon, I'm sending my guts to you. My guts. I'm sending you my heart, my guts, deepest part of me, sending you a part of me. Now, this is profound that Paul uses this word of his heart or his guts, that he's sending his guts, his heart, the deepest part of him to Philemon. This is very, very profound that he's using language like this. You know why this is profound that he's using language like this? It's because Onesimus is a Gentile. A Gentile is a non-Jewish person. And the Apostle Paul was brought up as an Orthodox Jewish person, a Pharisee. And Pharisees, especially an Orthodox Jewish person, they had no dealings with a Gentile. Gentiles were considered unclean. If you were not Jewish, they wouldn't even talk with you. They didn't do business with you. They had no dealings with you whatsoever. But yet now you have this Orthodox Jewish guy brought up in the faith, now he's speaking to another Gentile person and calling this other Gentile person his heart, his intestines, and his even spiritual son. This is crazy. See, Paul was a real, he came up super, super Jewish. What he says in Philippians 3:5, he says that I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. What Paul is saying when he says that is that I was gang for Judaism, to use a modern term. See, in the ancient world, you had some Jewish people that were Jewish in ethnicity, but their culture, their traditions was more Greek. And so Paul was like, I was not that dude. It's kind of like somebody, you've seen people maybe from the Middle East, right? And there's some people from the Middle East, they come to America and they get real Americanized. They're using American slang. They're wearing Jordans. They're looking very American. And you get some other people from the Middle East, they come in and they look like, man, they just left the Middle East, right? They're wearing all of their coat. They're still deep in the Middle Eastern culture. That's how Paul was about Judaism. He was like super Jew, so to speak. I know that sounds bad, but I'm just trying to get you to understand how deep into the faith he was. It's kind of like, I call it like super Crip, right? So there's Bloods and Crips, right? We know what that is, gangs, right? Right? So, and I say this facetiously, but there's some guys, you call them, they're super Crips, right? A Crip is, in the Blood gang, he wears all blue, right? That's what a Crip is. Bloods are they wear red. But you have some super Crips, and people will joke about it, like they're so Crip that they won't even eat red licorice, right? Because it's red, right? I'm not even eating Skittles because Skittles got red in it, and I don't do anything red, like super Crip, right? Paul was like super Orthodox Jewish. We're like, he was so about that life, and yet now this Pharisee, this guy that was so about this Judaism life, so like I'm following all the laws of Moses, but yet now he's actually going against those laws, and he's teaming up with this Gentile, and now this Gentile has become his heart. It has become the most intimate part of him. And like, this is just really so profound that this would actually happen. Like, if Paul's boys who were Pharisees seeing him now, they would have been like, bro, you tripping. You calling this Gentile your son? This Gentile your heart? Like, what's going on with you? See, this is the equivalent of like a KKK member in Mississippi in the 1960s, calling some black kid, oh, that's my heart. Oh, that's my son. We would like, his clan members would be like, bro, what's wrong with you? What's going on with you? You're crazy. That's the equivalent of what's happening with the Apostle Paul and Onesimus. He's now, his heart has grown so deep for this other person who was not Jewish. It's just like, whoa, how did this happen? It's like the equivalent of a Nazi Germany calling a Jewish person his son. Like, no one would do that. That's crazy, outrageous. How did this come about? Again, the reason I'm pointing this out to you is just to show you the power of God, how God can reconcile even the worst of enemies, even people that you thought you would never get along with. The Holy Spirit can begin to change hearts to where now people that you were beefing with, that you were hating because of the gospel, because of Jesus, he can make those two people now love each other. And that's what's happening here with Paul and Philemon. Because of Jesus, because of the gospel, they have now developed this father and son type of love for one another, where the apostle Paul can say to Philemon, Onesimus, this is my heart. This is my heart. This is my spiritual son. That shows you again the power of the gospel. And this goes back to my original point that I made the first time, how there is no just me and Jesus thing. There is no just I'm going to read my Bible and forget the church. I don't need nobody. No. Once you get reconciled with Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to reconcile you to other people. And that's what you see happening here with this Jew and this Gentile. They have been reconciled together, and now they both have this deep, intimate love for one another. That's why there's no just, I'm going to come to Jesus and just read my Bible and be by myself. No, when you come to Jesus, when you're reconciled to God through Christ, he begins to work on you to where now you reconcile with others and where you begin to have a heart for other people that maybe you hated before. Why? Because that is the power of God. And that is what we're seeing here with Philemon, or with Paul and Onesimus. So just think about yourself. I think about my own life. Like, there's so many relationships that I now have with people because of our common faith that I would have never had. I probably would have never clicked up with Pastor Brian. Let's just be real. We just wouldn't have clicked up like that, probably. He plays the banjo, right? Like, come on, man. I'm from Oakland. What is that thing you're playing, right? Like, but because of Jesus, he brings people together that may not even have any common interest, but because of this love that we have of Christ, he can bring people together to where they intimately love each other. I share deep personal stuff with him that I've never shared with any other person. God did that. He can bring people from different walks of life, and he did that there with, or he did that with Paul and Onesimus. But what about you? How has your faith, and this is a question I'm generally asking, if you can answer it, I would love to hear it. How has your faith brought you into relationships that you would never have had outside of Christ? And I'll give it a second. You can answer now. How, if you know off the top of your head, how has your faith in Christ brought you into relationships that you would never probably had outside of Christ?
I say that all the time about Layla.
Okay. Okay.
Relationship with each other would not be non-existent, because we're completely opposite ends of our life.
Right.
And even to now, like going, I don't like five socks.
Right, right.
I'm very different things. Like, okay, I see it. I don't like being next to them, but I'm out there. I mean, bunch of them were going to see the kids. Like, I never would have.
Yeah.
Because of that.
It's brought two different worlds together. Yeah. Yeah. And that's how humanity's supposed to be. That's how God made it. So we're the new creation. We're showing people this is how humanity's supposed to operate. People from different cultures, different walks of life, all worshiping God, loving one another deeply. These are not just superficial relationships either. I'm sure you and Layla have had deep conversations and really poured into one another. That's what God made us to be. So you see that happening here with Paul and Onesimus, just that relationship aspect. Now let's keep digging a little bit more into this. So he says that I'm sending my very heart. Tell me this, when someone says, in verse 12, or you can even take it even just naturally, when someone says that I'm sending you my very heart, what are they trying to say? What message are they sending? I'm open this up for anyone. When someone says, I'm sending you my very heart, what message, what are they trying to communicate here? What do you think is going on here when they say that?
This person is very precious to me.
Okay, come on. That's what we're saying. This person is very precious to me. Go ahead, Mom.
Oh, no, I said take care of them.
You're saying take care of them, right? If you're telling somebody ahead of time, I'm sending this person to you, that is my very heart. You're saying, Take care of them. What else you think when you use language like this, I'm sending you my very heart, what do you think that's what's trying to be communicated here? What else?
He's also like sending my trust because he's
sending my lifeline. Come on. Yes, it's a trust. I'm sending you my lifeline. Like, this is serious stuff, right? So, for example, you guys are all right. That's 100% what he's doing. It's like if a guy came and proposed to my daughter Serenity, I'm going to tell him, like, bro, that's my heart, right? And when I say that's my heart, what I'm saying is you're trying to tell a person, you're trying to say that, take care of them. You're saying, be gentle, right? Because this is my heart. Or you're saying, watch how you treat them, right? Watch what you say to them because they're my heart. They're dear to me. You're saying what you say to them or how you treat them, you're actually treating me, right? That's what you are trying to communicate when you say that I'm sending you my heart. And so that's what Paul was doing. He's trying to communicate how dear Onesimus is to him. And so be careful how you talk with him and how you treat him because this is my heart we're dealing with here. It reminds me of there's times when I, in the past, have driven down Watt Avenue. And when you drive down Watt Avenue, what you'll see sometimes are you'll see prostitutes. You see prostitutes walking down the street, broad daylight sometimes, skimpy, almost naked, walking back and forth down the street. Or you can be, there's times when I've been driving down Stockton Boulevard and you see people or women just walking down the street. Or there's even been times where I've pulled up to a stoplight Or you see there's a woman or there's a man and they're holding a sign and it says, I need money. And you see this woman and you see that life has been rough to her and you have all of these emotions going through your heart and you feel sad for her, you feel all of these different things. But this one thought that constantly comes to my mind when I see these women and men laying out on the street, I say that's somebody's baby right there. I say, that's somebody's heart right there. That drug addict that's strung out on the street, that's laying on the ground talking to himself. I'm saying, that is somebody's heart. That is somebody's baby. Somebody birthed this person. Somebody changed their diaper. Somebody fed them. And now they're sitting there on the street with nothing. And I'm saying that's just not a person. That's not just a woman walking seductively on the street. But that is somebody's heart. I wish I would have had this understanding as young man growing up in my treatment of other women. Because that was not the message that was taught to me growing up. The message that was taught to me growing up was be a pimp. Get as many girls as you can. Who cares if you break their heart? That was so wrong. It's not how you're supposed to treat them. You're supposed to treat them as if they were somebody else's heart. And Paul is saying this about Onesimus. He's saying, Onesimus is my heart. See, one of the reasons that Paul is saying this, that Onesimus is his heart, is because in a Roman world, when a slave or servant ran away, like the law permitted you to basically beat that servant blue or black. Especially if they stole money from you. You know, people don't play about their money. They don't play about their money now. They didn't play about their money in the first century, right? People don't play with their money, right? Under the Roman law, Philemon, just under natural human Roman law, he could beat his slave blue and black. He could brand them like you brand cows, right? Letting people know. You can do so many different things to let people know this person is a runaway and all of that. He could have did all of these things, but no. Paul is saying, Philemon, Onesimus, this is my heart here. He said, this is my heart. And he even says in some verses that Philemon, you owe me your very heart. I mean, you owe me your very life. And he's saying that this is my heart, Philemon. So treat him, Philemon, as you would treat me. I am Paul, the age. I am in prison right now for the gospel, sharing Jesus. And I'm asking you, Philemon, to treat Onesimus like you would treat me, as if I'm sending you my own heart here. I'm laying it all down for you. This is part of me. This is the deepest part of me. So treat him, honor him as you would honor me. Treat them that same way. Out of all that I just said, I mean, when you read Philemon, you can see the love that Paul has for Onesimus. It just oozes off of the page how dear this person must be to Paul. That he would say, he's my very heart, my intestine. He really, really loves Onesimus. But do you realize that this love that Paul has for Onesimus as a son, it pales in comparison to the Father's love for his son, Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? I mean, we see the love that Paul has for Onesimus here, that again, it oozes off of the page. He's really for Onesimus. He really loves him. But do you realize, again, that Paul's love for Onesimus, it pales. It's like peanuts. It's like sand. It's like nothing in comparison to the Father's love for the Son, Jesus Christ. And so Paul says Onesimus was his heart. How much more is Jesus the heart of the Father? And what did the Father do? The Father gave his heart in Jesus so that you and I could be reconciled and be a part of his family. That's Ephesians 2. The Father gave his heart, Jesus, so that you and I would not face his wrath, but we can find pardon and forgiveness through Jesus. That's John 3:17. The Father gave his heart in exchange for you and I. This is Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32 says, he, talking about God the Father, who did not spare his own son, the Father's heart, his own son, Jesus Christ, but delivered him over for us, you all. He gave his heart over for us, you all. That exchange, the Father, who has a greater love of his son, way more than Paul has for Onesimus, gave his son, delivered him up over for you and I, for us all. Think about that. Just think about what I just said, that God would deliver his beloved son, his heart, over for you. That blows my mind. I don't get it. That he would give his son over for me, his heart, his beloved son. And when I think on that thought, I ask the question of why? It just comes to my head. Just why, God? Why do you love me so, God? It's a question that just goes in my mind. Why would you put forward your beloved Christ for me? Who am I? Your son, your beloved son, that you would deliver him over for me, this sinner, this rebellious person who's went against your ways, who seek other things, who made himself his own God. Like, why? But you put forward your beloved for me. Who am I? It's a question that just blows me away. It's just like, God, why are you so bent on doing good to me? Ephesians 2:7 talks about how God is going to shower me with his kindness in the age to come. It's like, God, why do you want to just keep doing so good to me? What is it? The psalmist says in Psalms 8:4 that you are mindful. Like, what is man that you're mindful of me? Again, why, God? You are God, the creator of the universe. You are holy. You're perfectly content. You need nothing else. Why do you love us creatures here so? Why are we even on your mind, Lord? That's what the psalmist is thinking about. I'm thinking the same thing. You're so holy. You're so perfect. But yet, you're thinking about me here? Why? Question, I'm wondering. Jesus, it's your heart, Father. Why? In my head, I sometimes think, I'm like, Father, couldn't you just have sent an angel to do the work of Christ? Why are you sending your heart? Why are you sending your son? Why are you sending your beloved? What are you trying to communicate in doing this? This angels, this holy people, why your beloved, why your son? God, what are you trying to communicate in sending your beloved, in sending your heart? What are you trying to say? What he's trying to communicate? He's trying to communicate love. He's trying to communicate John 3:16 that I so love the world, I so love you that he gave his only unique son. He's trying to demonstrate, as Romans 5:8 says, how much he loves you. He wants you to get it. And he's like, the best way to show him is, look at the ultimate sacrifice. This is my son, my beloved son, who I love, who I've had eternity with forever. And now I'm offering up my son in exchange for you. Like, what? You'd love me like that? This is just crazy. The Father would have this love for us, for you and I, like that, that he would give over his beloved son. His heart. And here's the thing. It actually gets better. You're like, how can it get better? There's more. I shouldn't say get better. I say it gets. There's more, because not only did the Father give his heart, his beloved son, in exchange for us, not only did the Father give himself, but we became Christ's heart. The Father gave his heart, and we also became Christ's heart. We are Christ's heart. The verse I'm thinking about is Ephesians 5:25, where it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved what? Bible. Love the church. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. And guess what else that verse says? And gave what? And gave himself up for her. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, his bride, and he gave himself, his life, sacrificed himself for his bride. So he gave his life for his bride, which tells me then that his bride is his heart. It tells me that his bride is very dear to him, so much so that he would go to the shame of the cross, that he gives himself for his bride. When somebody sacrifices their life for someone, that's telling me that this person is very dear to you. When you give your life and you allow yourself to be beaten and hung on a cross for a person, that's telling me that this person that you are willing to die on behalf of must be really dear to you, must really mean something to you. And so that's what's happening here. We have become Christ's heart as well. Think about that, saints. The church, we are the bride. Christ dies for his bride to sanctify her, to make her holy. He goes to the shame of the cross for his bride. Or consider what Jesus says in John 15:9, where he says, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you, talking to his disciples. Just as the Father hath loved me, I have loved you. Wait, you are the Father's unique son. You are his heart. Wait, you're loving me like that? Wait, I'm your heart. You love me like the Father loved you, and you're the Father's heart, so now you're taking the same love, and we're your heart. You're loving us like that? Father, Christ, the heart. Think about that, saints. You are loved by the Father. You're loved by the Son. You're beloved children of God. Gotta let that sink in. That's what I'm praying that over this weekend and even as we go again or this past week, that your prayer partner is praying for you to help you behold that, because I just said words to you, some of you, and that just went over your head. Did not hit that heart. I just said some words and it just went right over your head. I'm praying that those words that I said actually go and hit your heart and bring you in awe and to tears and to just worship, to understand that the Christ, he loves me, that the Father loves me, that he gave his beloved for me. I'm praying that that hits, that there's some revelation, as Paul prays for, that you have this revealing to know God. And remember, he prays for the Ephesians to know the width, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ, that his love that he has for you. I want you to get this, that you're so loved, that if Paul could love Onesimus deeply like this, that is nothing that compares to Christ's love for you and the Father's love for you. You are so loved, saints of God. I want you to see that. And what seemed to happen here with the Apostle Paul is that this love that God has for him began to trickle down in his love for other people and his children. And that's why he loves Onesimus so. I mean, do you see how Paul is stepping in for Onesimus here? He tells Philemon in verse 18 and 19 that whatever he owes you, he tells him to charge it to me. God, I don't care. Charge to me. I just want you to reconcile in the faith. I want you two to be brothers in the flesh and in the Lord. That's all he wants. He wants him reconciled, and he's willing to do whatever that his son will be reconciled back with Philemon. Now, I take it that this relationship that Paul has with Onesimus didn't happen overnight. From what we can tell in the text, Onesimus came to faith through Paul while Paul was locked down in prison. That's why he says that he became my child in my imprisonment. So Paul brought him to faith while Paul was locked down in prison, and this relationship that they had, Onesimus was helping him, and it just blossomed into this great, like, father-son, spiritual father-son relationship. Which brings me to the question, saints, or this question. Paul poured into Philemon, became his son in the faith, just as he poured into Timothy, and Timothy became his son in the faith. Who are you pouring into, saints of God? Is there anyone right now that you're pouring into? Is there anybody right now that you can say, they are my heart? Or they have become my heart? Now, I know we do this with our children and family members. We pour into and we can say, yeah, they're my heart. And that's important, because I always say, I know we want to save the whole world, but the first place you want to start is in your home. But outside of your natural family, remember, this wasn't Paul's natural family. Outside of your natural family, is there anybody that you have poured into? And I know some of you are new believers, so I get it. Hopefully, you know, as you grow in the Lord, you get to that place. But I guess I'm talking more to the saints that have been walking with the Lord. Have you poured into anybody? If you spend time with just anybody where you're spending your time just with them because you want to see them grow in the Lord, walk in the Lord. Maybe it's a younger person, or maybe it's a younger person in the faith. Are you pouring into anybody, saints? Are you just living your life, just doing you? Paul here, he was pouring into people's lives. He was having spiritual children. We need to have some children.
Second access. What are we doing? Have you allowed yourself, brothers and sisters, and again, I'm talking more to my seasoned saints, have you allowed yourself to get close with a brother or sister that you would say, this is my heart? If there was a person, like, is there anybody, how do I want to say this, that if you were going to direct the person that you know to a church, could you tell this pastor that you're directing them to, this church that you're directing to, that I'm sending you my heart? Like, is there anybody like that in your Christian walk that you have done that to, where you poured so into it, you're like, this is my heart, like Paul says about Onesimus. And if not, the question is just ask yourself, why is that the case? I'm not trying to guilt you. I just want you to think. That's all I'm trying to get you to just really think about your life and how you're using your time. Are you pouring into the next generation of the people? I think about, it's kind of funny, but I think about Myung, right? When I first heard that she was engaged to a guy, my first thought was like a dad. And I know she's older than me, right? She's like a spiritual mom. But my first thought was like a dad. And my first thought was like, this dude, he better treat her right. That's all I was thinking in my head. I was like, he better. Not like I'm finna do something to him, but in my head, I'm like, that's my heart. I love this lady. You better treat her right. I didn't know this. Like, no, she's special. That's my heart. I love this. She's a prayer warrior. You better treat her right. Like, talking about that type of affection for folks. That's what we see here in these relationships with Paul and Timothy and Philemon and Archippus. You see this love, like, but it's a real love for one another. They really are each other's heart. And so that's my challenge to us this morning, saints. So to close off this teaching today, just to remind you, you are Christ's heart. You are his bride. You are the church. He loves you. He sacrificed his life for you so that you would be sanctified and holy, set apart in this world. The Father loves you. He sent his beloved Son. We read Romans 8:32. He gave his heart, his Son, in exchange for you, which is crazy. So loved the world that he gave his only unique Son. Now we got to give our hearts in exchange. We got to pour out our heart to other people as well, just like the Apostle Paul. So be intentional, saints, about developing relationships. Open your hearts to people. Don't be so guarded. And then remember, as you go out, you see that homeless person in the street, you see that, remember, that's somebody's heart. So watch how you think about them. Watch how you treat them. Watch what you say about them, because they're somebody's heart. So we want to have that same honor as Paul was using here with Onesimus, saying, this is my heart. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are good. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh, that you've allowed us to be your heart, that we're on your mind. That you have thoughts towards us, God. Help us to understand just how deep that is, Lord. That you, Creator God of all things, so loved us, that you would give your heart so that we would be a part of your family. Oh, God, you would bless us for eternity now and for eternity to come. Like, God, thank you. Help us to just understand the depth and the width of your love for us, Lord God. Our natural minds can't grasp that thing, Lord. We need you by your Spirit just revealing and showing us the depths of this love. Help us, Lord, to be like your worker here, the Apostle Paul and Onesimus, this relationship. God, help us to grow close to one another like this, Lord. We would see each other as our hearts. We would love each other and treat each other that way and be willing to sacrifice for one another as Paul did for Onesimus. Help us to love like we see the people in your scripture loving, Lord Jesus. To love greatly. We need you. We can't do this without you, Lord. Help us to grow into this each and every day. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen.